But we've talked about 1964. You're beginning to leave radio in 1964, and you're going to television.
Right. A friend of mine, Jim Hartz, who has a KRMG background, incidentally, Mr. Early, went over from KRMG, as I recall, to KOTV as the news anchor. And the legend is, and I'm not sure that this is true, but this is what is told, the legend is that there was a man from NBC who was in town and got stuck in town, couldn't get back out for some reason, and was in the Mayo Hotel and turned on the TV, and there was Hartz. And thought he was so good that he eventually offered him a job, which Hartz took, as the local anchor for WNBC. I mean, talk about a great local job and a jump like that to there. It's just remarkable, but strange things really happened in television during that entire period of time. Jim went on to a very nice career and worked for the network for a time. Everybody who works for an NBC-owned and operated station works for the network if you're in the news department. But at any rate, he was co-host of the Today Show with Barbara Walters and had a successful career. When Hartz was contacted by this NBC representative, he went to the manager of the station, KOTV, a guy named George Stevens, and said, look, I've got this offer. What do I do? And I'm under contract here to work for you. He said, well, that's too good to pass up. But let's just put it this way. If you find somebody who can replace you here at KOTV, you go with our blessings. He picked up the phone, called me, and said, you want to come over? Explain the situation briefly. And I said, sure. So I did. Hartz went to NBC, and that's how that happened.
Jim Hartz, you had established a relationship, or he just knew of you as a
newsman?
Oh, we
weren't friendly. You know how it is in the broadcasting community. You're aware of other people who are there, and in most cases, at least in Jim and mine, we had talked and met several times.
So you came on as a news director in 64.
No, I was a news director, I think, in 65, actually. Maybe it was late 64. It wasn't the first day I walked in the door. I know that. Because there essentially was no news director when I walked in the door. I think it was just kind of a group thing where somebody had the title for maybe a few months or something. But yeah, from a practical standpoint, yeah, I ran the operation.
You come in and your first job is as what at KOTV then?
Reporter.
Just a reporter.
And an anchor. No, I was the anchor too.
Oh, you came in as anchor as your first job?
Yeah, pretty much. It may have taken 30 days or something like that, but...
That was the intent to have you come on as anchor.
Yeah, right. That's what,
and so you
that's what Hartz was doing,
Hartz.
Was the primary anchor. I don't know who was doing it on the weekends, or even if we had a weekend newscast. We were only doing 15-minute newscasts at that point.
So this was a complete new deal. Had you thought, boy, I want to be a newsman on television?
No,
did you have
never
aspirations?
Gave it a thought. Never gave it a thought. First time I was on was a live shot in which we strung cables from the KOTV studios to the courthouse for an election. And I was standing on top of a counter in the election board offices in a room just jammed with people. And I wanted to talk to Tommy D. Frazier. Remarkable guy, Democrat, former chairman of the, may have been at that time, chairman of the local Democratic Party, but wheelchair bound because of a World War II injury. So there I was, standing on the top of a counter in a crowded room, one microphone, one camera, literally reaching down below my foot level to interview Tommy Frazier. It was really interesting. I thank God so much there is a lack of videotape for some of this kind of stuff that was done. Well, actually, I would like to see it now. I think I'm mellow enough that I could stand it.
Other personalities at KOTV at that time when you came on?
I think Cy Tuma had already moved on. I think Bill Hyden may have been working there at the time. I think Betty Boyd was still there before she moved to Channel 8. Cy also moved to Channel 8, but not in the news department. He became what's called their booth announcer, the guy who did all the station breaks and that sort of thing, commercials. I just don't remember the timing of all of those people. I remember Lee Woodward developed Lionel there for a kid's show, actually, and I don't know who it was who set him up doing the weather with a hand puppet, but I was a great fan of Woody's. I always thought he was the quickest person I'd ever worked with on TV. Still do. I mean, you could say something just terribly embarrassing and dumb, and Woody would bail you out and make you look golden. He was really good. Mac Krieger, one time, our sports guy, we were in chairs at the anchor desk. We had wheels on them. Mac was really taking it easy because, you know, we run the sports after the weather, and so Mac was kind of leaning back and wasn't paying much attention and rolled off of the set during Woodward, who was right next to him, 3 feet away. And Mac, in the middle of Woodward's weathercast, you can see just part of his body falling across the set and this loud crash that happens when he hit the floor. And Woody just looked down at him for a moment and said, "What can I do for you, Mac?" Guy was so unflappable. It's just remarkable.
What's the story of Mac and the reason he left KOTV?
Well, I don't know why he left KOTV. You're probably talking about the time that he gave the finger to a live TV audience during a Mannix episode and was suspended for like 2 or 3 days. Is that what you're talking about?
I guess it is.
Yeah,
so he was
right.
Never fired.
No, I don't think so. He should not have been. The director who punched him up should have been fired. That's when I was in California, so that was
okay.
In 70 or 71. And George Stevens, who was the manager, called me in L.A., the day after that happened and described what happened, and I told him what he ought to do. He said, "Well, I got to suspend Mac, and I can't fire the other guy." Well, okay, do what you have to do. But what happened was that Mac had finished writing his copy early, and the format called for a three-shot, news, weather, sports. It wasn't a double anchor, so I guess it was Pitcock who was doing the news. Woody was probably doing the weather, and Mac was doing the sports. So Mac finishes, and Mac has been watching this episode of Mannix that plays from 9 to 10 back in the newsroom as he was writing his sports copy. And then in order for that opening three-shot, he gets up at about 7 or 8 minutes before 10 o'clock and goes in and sits on the set and watches the rest of the show from one of the studio monitors sitting right down there on the floor next to the camera. The director was already in the back. Cameras were already manned because you have to do some tweaking with them all the time, even if it's the same one, the same situation all the time. The director is capable of showing a particular camera to a particular monitor. And what he did was the camera that was aimed at Mac had a fairly tight shot, and they were just setting it up and color balancing it or whatever they call it, of Mac, and if you're back in the control room, you can put that picture on the monitor. And everybody knows that you don't put that on the air. You're just putting it on one monitor. Well, the director hit the wrong buttons. So instead of the Mannix show, which was in its climax because it was, you know, 5 minutes before 10 or whatever, here comes Mac's headshot, and he's looking at it. Mannix, his own headshot. He knows what it is. So he just shoots the bone to the camera, you know, middle finger to the camera, and Kudlicek was the guy who was directing the show. Kudlicek punches him out after 4 or 5 seconds, but it's really obvious what has happened because he has been on live. So the viewing audience, you're sitting at home, you're watching Mannix, and it's the climax of the show, and all of a sudden, here's a picture of Mac Krieger giving you the finger. It was, I suppose, probably between 5 and 10 seconds. And Mac didn't even, they didn't even know it when they did the newscast until some people started phoning in and were very angry. And it was just one of those stupid but eventually really funny things that happened. I mean, nobody got hurt by it and that sort of thing. And it was really not Mac's fault, but you kind of had to do it. It's sort of the same thing that happened to Beth Ringo when she said, shouldn't really say what she said, but she said, God, D, fill in the blanks, over Channel 8. And actually, I think she did get fired for that. But she just violated, they just violate the rule that all cameras are hot and all mics are live. And if you've been in broadcasting long enough, that's the first thing you learn.